We got to keep the energy high, 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 as high as we can. I know we both work jobs and we podcast.
A full energy.
Full fucking. Like, there we go.
Where's Wallace?
Where's, right? Musically meditated.
Musically meditated.
Musically meditated.
Welcome, episode 31, Musically Meditated. We're in the 30s. It's threatening tonight. It's been a while since we've been by ourselves. I'm glad to have you here all to my lonesome.
You let me sit. So I created in the studio, we keep tweaking it. And I created a tower because I think I'm better than everybody.
Yeah, you're sitting on
your throne. So I hover.
You're Suge Knight on top of your throne.
Yeah, I literally built a throne for myself in the studio.
Suge the Savage.
And I'm probably about 3 feet higher. Like, my eyeballs are 3 feet higher than everybody else's. But today, Joe's like, you got to sit across from me, man. I can't.
I got to have eye contact. I can't have you always on top of me.
Yeah, just judging with my arms crossed.
Yeah, he was being kind of mean the last couple episodes. Arms crossed, bad,
yeah, I didn't
bad
have the
body
best.
Language.
No, yeah, I had terrible body language. Yeah.
But no, man. Like I said, here we are, episode 31. It's been quite the journey. It's been a lot of fun, a ton of fun. So here we are. And first things first, everyone, please check out Musically Meditated and subscribe on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on iHeartRadio, YouTube. Started the Facebook group page. It's a lot of fun. People are getting involved. So if you're a local artist, a musician, share your stuff there, plug away. Whatever music you would like for us to review, we're going to get back into the reviews like earlier episodes. Put on some tunes. And if it's just music you want to share because you love it and you're passionate about it, do it, because that's what we're doing on this podcast is we're talking any type of music, but especially more independent music, right? Stratton, like,
yeah,
not a lot of pop hits, but hey, if you really want to post some T-Swift.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a huge T-Swift fan.
Are you?
No. I mean, I don't hate her, whatever. She's pretty.
She's all right. Kanye did. He dicked her over that one time.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. But
or the new Backstreet Boys, you know, if you want to plug that new Backstreet, I guess they're back.
The Backstreet's back?
I guess they're back.
All right. Where's Wallace?
I know. Where is Wallace? Yeah,
he's
shout out.
Screaming in the mic.
Yeah, shout out to Juice Pro Wrestling. We've been doing this fun crossover thing. He's another Green Door Network affiliate in Stratton. Plug the Green Door Network and where you can find it and what's going on with, you know, some future podcasts.
Yeah, greendoornetwork.com. Right now we got Musically Meditated. It's a Monday show. Pricks on Flicks is a Thursday show. Stephanie's Train Travels is Saturday. Juice Pro Wrestling is Sunday. We're working on a couple of the other ones, but the two that are coming out soon is the relaunch of Would You Rather Podcast.
Man, hopefully I could join that finally.
We'll see. We have high standards of humor.
Here goes Sean.
And we do, what's funny is with that one, I won't talk about it much because, you know.
Oh, God.
Like I said, it's the relaunch. You have to have an alias before you can come on. And the shtick is people can do like 3 seconds of research and know that it's you. It's Joe. So we're working on that. And then the one that you guys mentioned last week, a little bit of Coast to Coast AM, there is one that's in the vein of Coast to Coast AM, and that's actually going to be launched probably less than 2 weeks from now.
And that's with you, right? Like you mentioned.
Yeah, we have a whole format and it's a little silly. Cool. And but it is like talking about all those different things, alien abduction, like everything. We're going to kind of hit everything episode to episode. And that's awesome. That one's going to be called North to South Wi-Fi 360. And it is a kind of a silly name, but I tried to play on. And our voicemail is area code Roswell, New Mexico area codes. It's ridiculous.
That's
but
even better.
Yeah. So those are the two that are going to be the next ones launched. And like I said, throughout the summer, we're just going to be adding to it.
Right.
You know, Joe's going to be a part of a couple of juices. Michael, the co-owner of the Green Door Bookstore,
he's
jumping in
mic.
On a couple. Yeah. So, yeah, we just keep listening. That's what I keep saying. Just keep listening to Green Door Network. Subscribe to it. You could hear it all. But back to the Facebook page for Musically Meditated. Anybody can suggest a music video, stick a comment, and whatever you post on that group page, put a comment, and I guarantee we'll engage you and we'll have a cool conversation. I'm just getting into it too, but if you put a comment, we're going to talk. It's just fun, man. Just get into it.
Yeah,
like,
just get into
it. Grow the audience, grow this group with us. It's been awesome.
Yeah, don't take it too serious, and I know Stratton, I could speak for him here, and definitely myself. Like, with this podcast, it's not like we have this idea of we're better than you, like we know more about music. It's all subjective. It's just an opinion. So right. whatever you're into, and it's not like my music knowledge is better than yours, you know, just to come across. But I do put a lot of time into researching music and trying to discover, and like Bobby Marcos from Cloakroom said, like a tastemaker.
Right.
I feel like I'm a really good tastemaker. Actually, I know I'm a good tastemaker. So hopefully when I post a video, you're like, hey, I like that. I never heard it before. So, you know, just to throw that out there. We're not, our opinion's no better than the next man's or woman's, you know. We're just trying to share what we love. So, you know, and if you don't like what I post or Sretton posts or anybody else, you could say it sucks. But
Unless it's Dave Matthews.
Yeah, or Dave, yeah. But if you're just going to be a troll, you know, a shoe troll, don't bother
us. Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself, you know. So hate mail, you know, it's a little bit, we can handle it.
We've had some
shit thrown our way so far.
A little bit.
So
it's been all right, though.
It's okay. It you know, I'm not losing any sleep over it.
No, me neither.
You know, controversy sells, and that's what we're going to do a little bit with this episode. With this episode tonight. Oh, no. But yeah, everybody make sure you subscribe to Green Door Network. It's everywhere. I know it's definitely on iTunes. I'm still a part of it. Always will be. Always have been. Musically Meditated's there. And then Musically Meditated, you could just search the term and it's available on all podcast platforms. Yeah. So first, before we start, please go back and revisit the Tool episode that we just did. It was a birthday episode with Nick Gloom. We had Justin Wallace from Juice Pro. We had Alex Lyle come in. We had Arius Sheet.
His last name has been revealed.
It is. It's Alex Lyle. He's been supporting the podcast since day one, so shout out to Alex. And then our sponsor, Arius Sheet Metal. So thanks, Arius Sheet Metal.
Thanks, Arius Sheet Metal.
We really had a lot of fun.
AriusSheetMetal.com.
Yeah, AriusSheetMetal.com. But let's do this real quick. Nick Gloom was on there. Nick Gloom has been a part of the podcast for quite some time. We had him on as a guest episode 19, so go back and check that out. He also had Alec with him from Mythos, which Mythos is a zine. And then Nick Gloom is Gloom World TV, right?
Gloomworld.tv. But he also has a just Google Gloom World. He's got gloomworld.com where you could see his art too. But he's on Instagram. He's on, he's on there. But he's got,
I was going to say, and please check out his Patreon page.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Nick's got this really cool thing going on where he's painting a new painting once a month, or is he doing 30 a month? Do you remember how that goes?
He paints a lot.
He paints a lot, but the Patreon page is where to check him out and to help and support, and he's a dope artist, so don't sleep on Nick Gloom.
No.
He's doing big things.
He's got great art.
Yeah, but we had him on episode 19, so go back and revisit that and check it out so you can get a feel for him and his love for music and his passion, you know, with art. Nick and I actually did a little jam session, me on bass and him on drums, and it was kind of like an awkward first date, but we made it through. You know?
Was it?
Yeah, kind of awkward, because, you know, like, we knew what kind of music we liked, but we didn't, you know, it's like a first date. It's like, oh, you're attracted to her, or she's attracted to you, but then you go and she likes Dave Matthews and you like Cannibal Corpse. You know, it's kind of hard to break bread. Yeah. But no, it was cool. And we got some things. We got a few tricks up our sleeves. Any upcoming events at the bookstore real quick, Sret?
Yeah, Friday, I don't know if it's June 1st or that last weekend. So next weekend, or next Friday, we're having a zine night. So that's the next zine night. If you go on the Green Door Books Facebook page, we're doing a book club also next Monday and Wednesday. It might be too late for people to read the book. But
I've been voting on Facebook.
You can go to the, if you don't make it now, we do it once a month. Those are the two coming up. June and July are going to be very busy for us, but we're trying to lock in events. So if you just go to the Green Door Books Facebook page, just like going to the, you know, Musically Meditated Facebook page, this summer is going to be so much fun. There's going to be a ton of stuff going on. So if you are ever bored, there's no reason to be bored. Come to Hobart. You will not be bored.
You'll love it.
Come hang out. You'll
love it. Come hang out with the Brickies. Brickies. Looking forward to it. Remember to go to Librarium, get you some coffee. That's in downtown Hobart. They have the best peanut butter cookies ever. I know they're gluten-free, and I'm pretty sure they're kosher and organic, and they're really good.
Yep.
So go to Librarium. Also, Three Monkeys. We love Three Monkeys. They feed us all the time. They give us drinks. Shout out to Megan, Amber, Aaron, the manager, Mike, the cook, and then what's the owner's name?
Jeff.
What's his nickname?
I don't know. I call him a different name.
Okay. But yeah, Jeff, the owner, awesome people. They have some fun things going on too this summer.
The Moose? What the hell's his nickname? He's got like something like that.
I always say like
the Rat.
No, it's Jeff. Oh, it's, what is it? I don't know. We're going to butcher this, but I don't know. At any rate.
Don't be sensitive, Jeff.
Yeah, don't be sensitive. Yeah, go to Three Monkeys. Check it out. It's a good time. They got some really cool up and coming events this summer, and I have a little trick up my sleeve with them in the theater, with the Art Theater this summer. So don't sleep on that.
No.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So let's transition. Let's transition into why we came here. We did our little plug section because we have to and we want to, and we love everybody we're talking about and all of our sponsors. So thanks again. But let's transition into why we're here tonight, and Sretton and I are going to go over some live show reviews that we've attended on the past few months. And Sretton, I'm going to start with you, but I'm going to backtrack a little bit too so people can revisit the episode. It was a quick little special episode, our American Nightmare experience. It was like your first kind of hardcore.
My first time, yeah.
You know, punk rock show, and there's that infamous Instagram video on American Nightmare's page. Go there and look for it.
Thank goodness it's deep in the post.
It's
now.
Deep in the post, but just go stalk their shit right quick and look for Sretton. He's just hanging in the pit, and nobody's messing with him because he's like Suge Knight. He even gets that Suge Knight respect at a hardcore punk rock show.
Yeah, I do look confused.
He just
like, where am I?
Yeah, but
how'd I get here?
That was your first experience with a show like that. You enjoyed it. So everybody check out that episode. It's just called the American Nightmare episode from what I remember. But Sretton was able to go see his first extreme death metal or grindcore show. And where was it at?
It was at that skate shop in Lansing. I'm really sorry. I can't remember.
Royal Skate Park?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was so much fun.
Good.
I had so much fun. It's BYOB.
Oh,
so okay. I got there. It was a little rainy, but it was fine. I got there, and Wallace and the rest of Handsome Prick was there.
To see Handsome Prick and Homewrecker.
Yeah.
The two big bands.
And so I got there, and they had a couple benches pulled out that are always there, and just a bunch of people. There were probably about 30 people inside, maybe that many outside, just chilling, relaxing, like having drinks and talking. It was a great environment. I was not dressed like a person that was going to one of those. I had my
wearing khakis?
I was wearing khaki shorts, baby. khaki shorts. I think Brad or somebody who's a guitarist? Brad and the guitarist.
Zach Chetnik. Yeah.
I think Zach said something like, bro, you're wearing, maybe Wallace said something, bro, you're wearing khaki shorts. I was like, I'm going to go change. He's like, nah, you're fine. But everybody's wearing black, and I roll up like everybody's uncle.
Yeah.
My khaki shorts.
Or someone's concerned father.
Yeah. What are you doing here? There's open alcohol containers.
No, you just showed up like Suge Knight, like you normally do.
I had my short sleeve shirt on. My arms aren't small.
No,
but yeah, I came in there and like they had the music going already. I got there a little late, but then we had a couple beers and conversation. Everybody was super cool. Went inside to warm up with one of the bands. I can't remember which one. That was cool. I was concerned because the place is not big. It's kind of small, so I thought my eardrums were gonna get blown out. And I'm looking around and people got ear protection on, but it wasn't. It wasn't bad. They had the sound mix up. Like it was good. Went back outside, had a couple more beers, and then Handsome Prick started playing, and they are maniacs. It was awesome. I'm hooked. It was a great experience.
Yeah, their set's short, their songs are short, but it's the amount of energy and speed and
Precision a proper precision way to describe it?
Yeah.
Because the way that they go fast, slow, they like stop. It's almost like when you describe basketball stopping on a dime. Like that amount of speed from everyone, you know, vocally on guitar and drums. Brad is I was trying to film it. Next time I'm going to have a camera on the side so that I could enjoy the experience. But like precision, it was loud. It was just so cool on guitar. Zach too. Like it was just great.
About Justin Wallace's vocals?
And then Wallace, like, there was a dude that was taking pictures, but every one of those was kind of like a Dragon Ball Z pose, fists, hands, like, dude, I don't know. I think if they played for an hour, they would all three die. Wallace would drop dead if he played for an hour. The amount of passion he puts into it.
Well, they've been doing it for a while too.
Yeah.
And Brad always looks like he's gonna die after every song.
Oh, dude, when he was warming up, I was like, "Oh my god!" You know, he doesn't he's not a fat dude. He's a tall guy. He's a large guy.
But he puts his body through absolute chaos.
But then he gets
drums.
In there and he's like warming up, and I was like, "How are these noises coming out into the air so fast?" And then you see him like, but it's warm up, you know. So he's just messing around. And then when they start playing, he does not miss anything. And he's going like 1,000 miles an hour.
I've been told he's a little bit of a perfectionist, but that's a good thing.
Holy shit.
But yeah, very impressive, very extreme. I'm glad you got your grindcore cherry popped.
It was good. I'll be back.
Anything else? How was Home Record? Did you see them? I kind of know about them a little bit.
They were good too.
Okay.
I kept popping in and out, but by that time I was, I did have more beers than I had wanted to have, so they were slowly creeping up on me. So I did have a good time.
What kind of beers
I missed
drinking?
The Nick Budweiser's.
Right on.
Shout out to Budweiser.
Shout out to Budweiser.
But apparently I did have enough beer to miss the one naked dude that was
yeah,
jumping
there was
around.
A naked dude.
Yeah
well, show me some video.
Dick swinging all over.
Yeah, his dick was all over the place.
Ruined people's experience. Some people dug it. Streaky. Wallace didn't seem too traumatized. He was like, there's a guy with his dick.
Yeah, I think he showed me like the video footage about seven times. Like, only, hey, dude, did you see it?
The only footage that he had?
Yeah. That, it's like, no, what about your guys' show? You know, like, oh, no, I just got this naked dude. Like, right.
I had filmed like 15 minutes of him, and then my phone took a dump. So
okay.
I lost all that, but, you know. Next show, I'm hoping to film the whole thing, just off to the side.
Stop slamming all those Budweisers.
Yeah, well.
Give a little bit of your body to Budweiser every night you drink, a little bit of blood. But cool, I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Sounds like an
Thanks,
awesome
guys.
Experience. Yeah, shout out to Handsome Prick. They're a lot of fun. But my first concert that I got to go to within the last couple months, I got to go with Mark Getzinger. Remember Mark? He went with us to American Nightmare. He got tickets for Dead Kennedys and TSOL, True Sounds of Liberty, both legendary punk bands. I know True Sounds of Liberty, they're from Long Beach. And then the Boll Weevils played before them. And the Boll Weevils are like a legendary Chicago punk band, and I didn't really know this. But the lead singer is this bigger guy, like big as in tall like yourself. And he had like long, long braids, like dreads, like Rasta, like almost to like the back of his knees. And when they were playing, he gave a shout out. He's like, my parents are in the crowd, you know, like we're from Chicago, blah, blah, blah. And he did a nice stage dive, like, but a big boy, you know, and they caught him. But I was a little concerned. But then Mark, he sent me a video. They've been on a few Tonight shows, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know which one, but they've been on a few pretty big shows. And the lead singer is like a doctor, like a straight up doctor. And then the guitarist is something. I don't know if he's an attorney, but they're from Chicago. And it's kind of like badass doctor from Chicago is also a punk rocker at night. And I guess they've been around for a long time. So shout out to the Boll Weevils.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say it. I hope that's how you say it.
Sounds right.
But then going back to the True Sounds of Liberty, that was interesting too, because the lead singer, these guys are all aged now. They've been around for a long time. But he had like a smile, like this shit-eating grin on his face the entire time. But he looked like maybe the town mayor. You know, and he had like he had long shaggy gray hair, right. and he was a bigger guy too, but he just looked like someone's, I don't know, uncle or someone's stepdad, you know. But they were good, and they played a lot of old school. Like, I'm not really into them. Like, I could describe their old catalog, but if you're into punk rock, you know about them, especially West Coast, and they kicked ass.
Yeah.
So they were dope. And then the Dead Kennedys, I forgot how old they were too. Jello wasn't there, the lead singer, and a lot of people were like, oh, Jello ain't there, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, I get it. But the guy that filled in was great, but they are really old. They're in their 60s.
They're in their 60s?
Yeah, they're in their 60s old, because I kind of forgot about Dead Kennedys too. Like, they're one of the early punk rock bands. Like, they were doing shit in the late 70s. You know, and then they had like a late 70s to mid 80s. And then there was some kind of falling out between Jello, the lead singer, and the rest of the band. But what was really cool is the original bass player, the drummer, and guitarist are all still there. So, you know, to all those music snobs, like, Jello wasn't there, whatever. I got to see Dead Kennedys. They were awesome. They were a little bit older, but they could still rock. So it was a really, really good show. And they played at the Forge in Joliet. And that was my
how's
first
that
time.
Place?
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about as big as Reggie's, but a little bit bigger, because the upstairs is a lot more spread out.
Yeah.
But just to kind of give you a feel, like, it kind of has like a Reggie's vibe, but newer, cleaner, mini mall. I guess it's only been open for maybe a year, but there's going to be a lot of punk and metal acts that are going to come through there. So don't be scared to drive out that way. And it's kind of a nice ride, because you don't have to deal with the Chicago bullshit.
Yeah. Once you get through that 294 or whatever traffic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not bad drive out there.
But yeah, I was really, really impressed with the Dead Kennedys. I mean, and not to say old dudes can't rock, but I was like, that's them, You know, I mean, the bass player, it's the original bassist and guitarist. I don't remember their names, but I mean, we're talking gray hair and tucked in khakis, like what you wore to Handsome Prick.
I didn't tuck anything into anything.
I'm just giving you shit. But yeah, they were good, man. Legendary punk rock band. I was really impressed. You know, they did Nazi Punks Fuck Off and Too Drunk to Fuck. And these dudes are, you know, in their 60s.
I just wonder about that. How
Holiday
those bands
in Cambodia.
Because that whole scene started about the time when they were young. And now those dudes are in their 60s. Where does the music go? You'd naturally just be like, yeah, that was in my past. I'm over it. But there's still dudes that are still doing it.
They're doing it. And their grandpas and they're doing it.
Yeah.
And it was really, it's not like they sucked or anything, like they pulled it off. And like I said, I don't remember the guitarist's name, but it's the original guy and he rocked and the bass player was great. And the drummer too, like, you know, like he had like his own little, you know, they did their little introduction and, you know, he stood up. He's like, hey, I was like the first black dude in punk rock before Bad Brains. You know, he's like, this is what it's all about. You know, everybody coming together. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, you know, but like he had his little moment to shine and it was really awesome. So shout out to the Dead Kennedys still doing it. I mean, yeah, if Jello was there, great, but he wasn't. So to all you snobs, whatever.
Enjoy the music.
Enjoy the music. Dead Kennedys were great. The next show that I got to see was Alice in Chains at the Riv.
On a very special evening.
Yeah, it was my birthday. It was my birthday. It was a great time. It was at the Riv. I love the Riv. It's one of my favorite places to see a show. It was sold out. Another thing, too, this is that whole singer deal, and I kind of wanted to bring up this in a different part, but I'll do it now. Just the snob thing is getting under my skin, you know, because Layne Staley passed away, I believe it was in 2002. So they got a new singer. I forget his name, but the dude's awesome. He sounds a lot like Layne, but hey, that's the idea, right? Not only that, he plays guitar and he was busting out solos. He's super talented. You know, he doesn't sound exactly like Layne, but the Alice in Chains traditionalists, you know, oh, well, you know, well, Layne wasn't really there, so it's not really. It's like, hey, listen, Jerry Cantrell is the biggest part of Alice in Chains. He always sang along with Layne. He always did the backup vocals and he would take over leads, you know, so shut up.
Yeah, stuff like that, if the band decides not to break up and something like that happens, shut up about it. Don't, if you don't like it, don't listen
then
to
don't
it.
Listen
to their old stuff. Do if you know, there's a lot of people that still want to hear that stuff.
Right, and it sold out. I guess it sold out within like the first month, so there's a lot of people that would beg to differ because all the old school classics that they played kicked ass. It didn't sound bad at all. And all their new material, like, I don't really get into it as much like as the older stuff, but I'll tolerate it when they're playing it live and it's not bad.
Right.
You know, it's just tuned a little bit lower, which is okay. And it's all a little bit more modern. You know, it's just a new thing. But yeah, shout out to Alice in Chains. It was great. Nobody opened for them.
Have they come out with an album with the new guy? Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's been a while since.
No, the last time I saw them, it was with Deftones. I think I talked about it on our, Happy Birthday Diamond Eyes. So go back and revisit that. That was a couple episodes ago. It was Mastodon, Deftones, and Alice in Chains at Northerly Island, and it was great. And that's where I was kind of going into that show too, like, oh, it's not Layne. Like, who is this guy? You know, a little bit skeptical, but he kicks ass.
Yeah.
And they released an album then. I forget what it was called. I think Blue Turns Into Black. So that was 2010. Then they released another one after that. I don't remember the name. And then they just released a new single. So that's the hint. Like, this is like a pre-tour before the new album and then promoting the single.
How the fuck do you remember all this shit? when you do dates, I'm like, huh?
And I'm not reading anything, people.
No.
Keep up with me.
Yeah.
No, I'm patting my own back here. Yeah. But yeah, the Riv is a great place. There's a few the moments during the show, and it was the sound. I felt like the drums could have been louder. Then again, the drummer for Alice in Chains is more of a precision drummer, and he's not a hard hitter, I should say. So I don't remember his name off the top of my head. I think it's like Sam Guinea or something like that, but I don't know. I don't know if it was the mix, if it was low, or if he's just not a hard hitter or whatever it is. But
does that throw you off when the mix isn't what you'd like, or do you just kind of enjoy it? Because most of the times you go to concerts where you know the songs.
Yeah, I do, but then now that I'm getting older and just more of a prick in general, like,
it throws me off.
It throws me off, but I was sitting way up high and way in the back.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to be a critic that high up there. And it's not that it's like nosebleeds, but that's an old opera theater, you know, the Riv. Like, it wasn't, when they constructed that, they didn't construct that for Alice in Chains.
No, they didn't.
You know? So, just I'm being a little harsh there. And the other thing, this is something that popped into my head when I saw them. I never trust a band that, and I hate this. I hate when they do not have their gear and their amplification on stage. Where is it? And I'm a total gear nerd, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. I want to see what rig you're playing. I want to see who's endorsing you.
I'd
like,
be paranoid if I can't see it.
I can't.
As the musician.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Like, I don't know where it was. Like, there's bands that do that. Like, it's just, where the hell is your amplification? And here's the thing. With the sound, they didn't have any direct plug-in. Like, their plugins, their auxiliary cords.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They were using everything digi. And Jerry Cantrell was having problems with that. It was cutting in and out, maybe for about 3 songs. Like, nothing that ruined the show, but a nerd like myself, like, oh, well, that's what you get. You know, like, a traditionalist, like, you should have had that plugged in. But, yeah, he was having some problems with it. And I could tell he was getting a little upset. I mean, I remember seeing that stuff before, too, with the Deftones back in the day, like, during their dark days I've talked about
before.
It might
be the venue itself. Sometimes, you know, how you go some places, you have to trust that what they have there, you get to plug into. Because I think I saw one of the two Oasis brothers.
Oh, I love the one that the Gallagher boys.
Yeah.
I've been jamming a lot of Oasis lately.
I can't remember which one. Whichever one is still, because I think one of them stopped, is taking a break from music.
No, they're both, the singer, Liam, he just released an album, and then there's Noel.
I want to say it was Liam. I saw him at the Riv, and they actually cut it off. I thought
the guitarist or the lead singer?
The lead singer.
Okay, it's Liam, I believe.
Liam. Let's say it's Liam. Let's go forward and say it. I saw him at the Riv, and he played three or four songs, and they're just solid rock songs. You know, it's all his new music. I think he ended up, I want to say, he didn't end it with Wonderwall, but he might have, like the concert. But anyways, he played like 3 songs, and then he stopped, and I was like, because they're notoriously difficult, right? Mm-hmm. But I know that at least one of them, that one, like, loves the craft, and they had some audio issues, and then that was it for, I think, 25 minutes. But I think it was some kind of problems with, he didn't have a fit. They were just having audio problems, and they stopped the show for about 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
I've never seen that before either. And he came back, and it was cool.
At the Riv?
It was at the Riv, yeah. So I don't want to blame the Riv. I like the Riv. I don't know, maybe that digital plug-in stuff and all that wireless
maybe
shit.
Maybe it's haunted.
Maybe it's haunted.
Like the art theater. Right? So I don't know, but yeah, besides that, trying to think of some, Grind was great live. They kicked ass. They were really good. Definitely professionals. It was maybe close to an hour, 45-minute long show, you know, like, couple of encores. The bass player too, I know it's not Mike Starr, rest in peace, he was their original bass player. He passed away from heroin, just like Lane, but the new bass player was really good. That was he was good, but he was mixed too low, and I don't know if that was because how high I was sitting, but I'm a bass dude, I'm a bass player, so I felt like his mix could have been higher. And I think it was just their sound guy, because Jerry Cantrell, the lead guitarist, it's all about Jerry, and that's fine, but man, you gotta have that bass in there. But getting back to the new bass player, it was his birthday too, so I felt it. I felt it deep, deep in my heart. You know, it was personal. But yeah, it was a good memory, great time.
Good, good.
I love the Riv. But yeah, transition from the Forge Joliet into Dark Lord Day 2018. I was fortunate enough to go to that, and it was my first time. I popped my cherry on Dark Lord. How you popped your cherry on Grindcore show?
I've only ever been to one Dark Lord Day.
What year did you go? Look at you, hipster.
Oh, I went back before it was cool, bro. No, I don't remember. It was probably about 7 years ago. We did the whole thing where you wait in line and like bring beers, and while you're waiting in line, it's different. It's gotten so much bigger. There's a ton of people out there. I had a good time.
12,000 people to be exact.
Really?
Yeah. I looked up the numbers. It was ridiculous. Like I said, it was my first time, so I was definitely
taking
it all in. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to some dudes from like down south and Cleveland and, I don't know, Detroit.
Louisiana?
Yeah, no, Detroit, but we call it Detroit.
Ah, Detroit.
Detroit.
Got it.
But going into it, I finished up Midnights Early in the Morning. Shout out to Chris Goff and Keith Goff. Keith was really reminding me, like, hey, this is when tickets are for sale, and not that I didn't have interest, it's just, you know how it is with schedules and stuff. Like, I was like, okay, and he was really adamant on wanting me to go and experience it, because he loves it, and he's been to quite a few, but I missed the dates. And the night before, his brother had an extra wristband, and Keith told me about it, and we worked everything out. So I finished up Midnights, slept for about 3.5-4 hours, and I had somebody drop me off. My mom dropped me off. Shout out to my mom. Thanks, Ma.
Thanks, Mommy.
Thanks, Moms. But yeah, she dropped me off. I met up with Chris. We came in, you know, we went inside. Keith had already been there, so I missed the whole waiting in line and sharing thing. Like in the beginning, because I guess that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was being observant, and I wanted to see how everybody was acting, because I know how that beer is, and I know it's very strong. And when I was walking up to it, people were already passed out.
Really?
Laying on the ground. And
you know how
this girl
I
was throwing up.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, damn, man. Like, these people haven't learned yet. And they all look like they're in their 30s, like our age. Like, you can't do that in your 30s.
Oh, I don't think a lot of people still know. Even people that go every year, it sneaks up on them. All the beers there are super strong. But Dark Lord and the Variants, it's like extra strong. When I went, the way I compared it to, it might be like a slight, maybe longer, more drawn out Joe-ism, is so I went and everything was cool. People are sipping on their beers, sharing their beers. We get in, right? And because of the day's events, me and the guy that went, a buddy of mine, we only had like 3 hours. We didn't have the full time. So we were only actually in there for 2 hours, like having drinks and food, waiting in line, getting the beers. And it was way less crazy. Food was awesome. Beers were great, all that stuff. But I was about to catch a buzz and we had to leave. But you ever see a zombie movie and the zombies are in a crowd? It's like a bunch of non-zombies in a crowd. And maybe there's a zombie off in the corner somewhere, like yards away, and there's tens of thousands of people. And then you start to see the infection happen and it starts to spread. And like you hear one scream and you don't care. Then you start hearing more and more screaming. That's how I liken it to. By the tail end, or like maybe hour four of Dark Lord Day. Yeah.
Everybody's
drunks hammered.
Out.
People start puking, you know, people are, you know, falling over each other, and it's not a mess, but a lot of people do get surprised by it. So that could ruin your day, but you know,
creeper, because I got there by like 1:30, so people are already pretty hard in the paint by that time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I saw some fallen soldiers, so to speak, like, damn, you know, like,
but that's the music they play there. That's Keith's music.
Yeah, it's my music too.
Yeah.
It's everybody's music, because that's what's really cool about Three Floyds. You know, we had Gabe here from Grindhouse, like, there's like that heavy metal vibe and that punk rock vibe always at Three Floyds. Like when I went there 10 years ago for the first time, like Gabe and I talked, you know, like Zero Boys was playing, like an infamous Indianapolis punk band, you know, like, what is this? Like, I wasn't expecting that. And then throughout the years, they do that with their types of brews, right? You know, right. They name it after a certain death metal or heavy band, and transitioning into that, they have one for Pig Destroyer. It's called Permanent Funeral. And a big reason why I went, yeah, they have a beard for Pig Destroyer. The main reason I went was to see Pig Destroyer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a huge Pig Destroyer fanboy. I've seen them twice. Yeah, two other times throughout the years, because Pig Destroyer was always a three-piece. Vocals, guitar, drums. That's it. They never had a bass player or nothing. And they all had jobs, regular jobs, and they were in other bands and so on and so forth. So they were never really a huge touring band, especially back in the day. And I started to listen to them maybe in like 99, 2000. And then I got to see them for the first time at the Brutal Truth reunion show in like 04, 05. I saw Brad Vanderzee there from Handsome Prick, and he's like, yeah, this is a lot different than the Double Door, ain't it? I'm like, God damn, it is, you know? Like, so it had been a while. Then I did get to see him sometime after that. I don't remember what year or whatever, but probably like 2010 or something like that at Reggie's. I can't recall. But I do love Pig Destroyer, and I was totally blown away by the crowd for that extreme type of metal. I mean, it's really, really grown, and it's a really beautiful thing to see. Another friend of mine, Zach Gaja, he was the original vocalist for Decrypt, which is, you know, Montez and Brad and all those, and those guys, they were in Decrypt, and then right. Wallace took Zach's place. But, you know, Zach was the first guy that showed me death metal and grindcore and that stuff when I was younger, so I was sending him pictures of Pig Destroyer when I was there, and he was just like really impressed and blown away by the difference, you know, like of what it was when we were younger to here's 12,000 people. I mean, 12,000 people probably weren't watching Pig Destroyer, and maybe it was like 2,500 or 3,000, but still, like,
it's not 200.
No, exactly. And like the sound and everything was really, really good. They did a great job with it. It was awesome.
What's it like with the new bass player?
Yeah, they do have a new bass player, and they added before the bass player like a sound sample guy. He's been a part of their band for the last couple albums, so their sound is full and it's complete and it's amazing. What I noticed about the bass player, because like I said, I'm a nerd and I don't trust bands that don't have their gear on stage. Backtrack to Scott Hall, their guitarist. His guitar tone it's just the shit. Like, I know.
You've talked about it before.
Yeah, and especially live. And going back, I'm backtracking a little bit more to my friend Zach Gaja. He's the guitarist for Moistened Disciples, which is Wallace and Brad's other band. They have so many bands. But I remember Zach is a total gear nerd, and he was studying Scott Hall's Hall. It sounds like the wrestler, but his rig, and Zach made it. You know, like he
oh, really?
He basically made the exact same rig. Now, I can't remember all the specifics. This was like almost 10 years ago. But seeing and hearing his live rig, it's just, it's the shit. Because you got to remember, they never had a bass player. So he was always using this tone that he was relying a lot on the mid range, you know, because it sounds more punchy and, you know, like it just, it sounds full. And I know Zach Chetnik from Handsome Prick does that too. We were talking like, it's all about the mids.
Yeah, they don't have a bass player either.
Right, they don't, especially when you're doing that kind of shit. So it kind of evens out. But then they added this bass player. So talking about right now, they added this new bass player. And he had your basic standard like 8x10 Ampeg amp. But what was different and really cool is he had a 4x12 guitar cabinet connected to it. I've never seen that before. So he was using a lot of distortion and overdrive, but it filled out the sound even more. And then they have Jarvis on drums, and he's a newer addition, like from the last couple albums, and he's in Misery Index and these other bands, a few other grindcore bands or death metal bands, I can't remember right now, and he's amazing. So they were great. I was like really impressed. Like, of course, I'm an old school guy, an old head, so I was really pumped up when they were playing Prowler in the Yard stuff. Like, I remember they played Starbelly, Cheerleader Corpses. I filmed that whole song, so I have that. You might get a little touch of that on my Instagram or something. I mean, it's like a traditional short chaotic grind song,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like 45 seconds, you know? but yeah, they played some old school classics, a lot of new stuff. Very impressed with Pig Destroyer. And then shout out to J.R. Hayes, too, because he's one of my favorite vocalists, because he blended that hardcore style. You know, he's not doing the Cookie Monster stuff. He's just doing hardcore punk style vocals, like the sound. And
yeah,
he still just kicks ass. And Prowling in the Yard is still one of my like my most favorite written lyrical albums of all time. Like, it's just like this very, very dark poetry and some of the best one-liners. Trauma is sexy, you know, like, who the hell says that? So it's just a dark album. And they played that creepy robotic intro. Remember, you're like, what is that? So yeah, that they did that. And
yeah.
Pig Destroyer was great. And then closing out the night, it was the legendary Dying Fetus. And that's where I was really like in awe, because I got to see them back in the day and way more often than Pig Destroyer, because Dying Fetus was like the heavy hitters, and I would see them at Riley's Rock House, and what's the other place we've brought up quite a few times?
Did you say Riley's Rock House?
Riley's Rock House, but what was the other one? We talked about it with Allison and Chuck and Gabe. Fireside fucking Bowl. God damn.
You won't notice because I edited, but it took us a while to get there.
It took us a long time to get there. Fireside Bowling Alley. Jeez, oh, Pete's. I guess you could tell that we do work our regular day jobs, huh? People don't get that. So we do draw a blank. But yeah, they've come a long way from the Fireside Bowling Alley days and the Riley Rockhouse days. I mean, Dying Fetus is a legendary death metal band from Maryland, and John Gallagher, I think that's how you say his last name, he's the lead vocalist, lead guitarist, and he's still kicking ass and doing the bark vocals like he was doing like I loved him in 1999. You know, I mean, it's crazy to think, but almost 20 years. I mean, I know they've been doing it for longer than 20 years. I mean, I know they have a newer drummer and a new bass player, so they're just a three piece, but their sound was amazing.
How's the crowd?
The crowd was great. Real quick though, they did Grotesque Impalement, which is my favorite EP and song by Dying Fetus, so I was really feeling that. Like, I remember I was like hanging out with our particular group, and then I can't mosh right now because my knee's destroyed, but like I just left like I was gonna go in there, and I didn't, because the entire crowd in the mosh pit was in gravel, so that just it's just a bad idea. You'll see some of that footage too from like my Pig Destroyer stuff, but people were throwing down, they're getting into it. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Dark Lord Day was fun. It was a lot of fun. I didn't go too hard in the paint. I definitely paced myself. I drank my water. I also went and visited Gabe from Grindhouse really quick and got one of his delicious breakfast burritos. And I think they had Dark Matter coffee from Chicago on tap.
There's some coffee that I saw on Instagram that he has now, and Fluid. They both have like this
unicorn?
Dark Lord.
Is that unicorn?
Some Dark Lord coffee.
Is it unicorn?
It's not a beer
blood
in it. I don't know what. Yes.
Unicorn
is it something
blood?
Blood.
Yeah, it's unicorn,
is it unicorn blood.
Blood. Yeah, that's Dark Matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in Chicago. My best friend, he just moved. He used to live right next door to the Mothership, which is in Ukrainian Village,
mm-hmm.
I think on Western.
Is that what you drink? Or you just drink
yeah.
something else?
Yeah, no, it was Dark yeah. Matter. I don't know what what blend it was exactly, but it definitely helped, you know, as far as coming off of midnights and going and drinking all day. But yeah, with Pig Destroyer, I was very impressed, and I was very impressed with Dying Fetus. But
well, never mind the Dying Fetus thing.
Oh.
I want to play a little bit of a game. Oh. Now, it's one of my games, so it's not going to be in-depth. I always got to say sorry, but this time, sorry, not sorry.
All right.
I got 10 questions for you, Joe.
I'm ready. Let me hear them.
And these are 10 questions to test your fandom of Pig Destroyer. Coming from a guy that only heard about him for the time that you talked about him here. And then when you told me that you went to Dark Lord Day and you had a good time, right, then I did a little bit of research. So
trying to stump me, huh?
Trying to stump you with this nonsense. All right,
got,
ready?
What you got? Let's
and
go.
Since we swear at a minimum, you might hear a beep or two in this one because some of this stuff is a little bit ridiculous. So, question one.
All right.
Before Pig Destroyer, the members of the band were also known to be a part of or are a part of all but which of these bands? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Enemy Soil, Agoraphobic Nosebleed.
I love them. Yeah, they're legendary.
Or Constipation Fart.
Constipation Fart.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
I didn't use that band name when Gabe was here, did I?
I don't think so. I remember Clown Shoes, though.
Clown Shoes, yeah. We're going to start a band called Clown Shoes. All right. Whew. All right, good job.
Thanks.
All right, one for one so far. Ready? Some of these might have a trick question.
Put
so
on your game face.
Something doesn't sound right. You need to call it out for a bonus point.
Okay.
All right, name the order of the studio albums that Pig Destroyer had. Ready?
Yeah.
These are the albums. Ready?
Okay.
First one, Prowler in the Yard, Phantom Limb, Terrifier, Explosions in the Wind, Explosions in Ward, Barn Burner?
Book Burner.
Book Burner.
Shout out to Mike Massengill. That's why I always reference Brooke Burger.
And Bloated Skeleton.
No, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
All right, so you get the bonus point. So are you good enough to know the order of the five albums? And in my research, I didn't realize that as popular as they are, there have been articles, and they also admit that they're not as prolific as everyone thinks they are. Everybody thinks that they put out a ton of music, but they haven't. Everyone thinks that they've toured a ton, but they haven't.
They haven't, right. I know that.
But they're still, like, real beloved, you know? Right. So they've had five albums. So
I'm ready.
The order is...
I'm ready.
You know the order?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
38 Counts of Battery, then it's Prowler in the Yard, then it's Terrifier, then it's... What the hell's that album called? Don't say anything. Hold on. Is it Jennifer... Or no. Oh, is it Book Burner?
There's Book an Burner? EP called Natasha.
Natasha.
But that doesn't count.
Natasha. Okay, hold on. All right, so 38 Counts, Prowler in the Yard, and then Terrifier.
Yep.
Then what the hell is that album called? I know the album cover. It's got like that creepy ghost. Shit. What is it?
You got between two, Book Burner and Phantom Limb.
It's Phantom Limb.
Okay.
Then Book Burner.
Okay.
Right.
So the one that...
My cousin Ian would kill me not knowing Phantom Limb right now. Girl in the Slayer jacket, that's his favorite Pig Destroyer song. Go ahead.
So 38 Counts of Battery, Explosions in the Ward was the first one. But 38 Counts of Battery apparently was... Yeah, I'll explain.
I know what it is. It was all of their like 7 inches and singles all together. So like they put everything together and then they came out with 38 Counts of Battery. And there's another one though in between there. It was...
God damn it, Joe.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
It was a Soundcheck album before Prowler in the Yard, and I have that on vinyl. It's got that crazy artwork on it, too. Forgotten Child's one of the tracks. Oh, fudge. What the hell's... What's the name of that? What's the name of that little EP? It's a little EP. The Vomit on Your Lips Tastes Like the Sex of a Twin Sister.
Oh, God.
Is some of the lyrics. Isn't that awful?
Well, if you know what it is, get on Facebook and tell Joe. What the hell, man?
What is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I forget.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, hold on. I'll look it up. I'll look it up real quick, but go ahead, Stratton.
All right. So you sort of got that one right. So let's give you two for two with a bonus one, because Bloated Skeleton, I guess, isn't one of them. Now, they did announce on May 14th, they announced when they're going to drop the next album, and it's going to be in September. And that'll be one of the other questions. So I got the name of that one, and I was going to add that, but I didn't know if you knew that they announced that shit. So anyways, ready? Question three.
Okay.
Drummer Adam Jarvis drumming was once described as, quote unquote, tickling Satan's taint with dynamite sticks. True or false?
I hope that's true.
It's false.
Oh, dude, that was good then.
Tickling Satan's taint with dynamite sticks. That's so I'm sorry. Tickling Satan's taint with dynamite drumsticks. All right, so two for whatever. All right, ready? Question four. This is stupid. 38 Counts of Battery, a complete discography of Pig Destroyer's releases up to 2000, was released by what record label?
Relapse.
It's super easy.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
See, now the one I'm thinking about, I still can't find right now. Looking online real quick. It was released by Robotic Empire.
Okay.
But go ahead.
All right. So question five. Bassist John Jarvis, so the new bassist.
Jarvis' brother, huh? I didn't know
that. In an interview once said that some of his influences as a bass player are Stefan Lessard, Peter Cetera, Bruce Hall, and Nick Jonas. True or false?
False. All false.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
False. Peter Cetera didn't even play bass. Did he?
I don't know. I guess he was one. He's one of the bass players of Chicago.
Is he from Chicago?
The band Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah. Stefan Lessard is the bass player from Dave Matthews Band.
All right.
He's good. Bruce Hall is the bass player of REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
And Nick Jonas is the bass player of the Jonas Brothers. Fucking dumb. All right. Ready. We already talked about this. Question six was before John Jarvis, who was Pig Destroyer's bassist? And if you talked about this,
they didn't have one.
Times, they never had one, so you got that one.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
All right. May 14th, 2018, Pig Destroyer announced the name of their new album, which is of the following.
All right.
Is it Headcage, Cold Barf Hot Beer, Den of Sandwiches, Prowler in the Yard, First Blood Part 2?
Shout out to First Blood. Damn, I got this picture I got to show you, but go ahead.
Or Underwater Asthma Attack.
What was the first one?
Headcage.
It's Headcage. I saw a picture on Instagram.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of a shitty name too, but whatever.
Their names aren't that crazy compared to their lyrics and their song names. Like their album names.
The vomit on your lips tastes like the sex of a twin sister.
That's a lyric.
Yeah, I know.
But they're like, their albums are not that crazy.
Trauma
like,
and sexy.
Den of Sandwiches is plausible.
It is. But hey, I found the name of that freaking EP.
Okay, what is it?
Painter of Dead Girls. Huh, finally.
Jeez.
It was driving me crazy. Here's some song titles for that. Rejection Fetish. That's amazing.
That's a good one.
I think we both suffer. Do we suffer from that?
Sometimes.
No.
Come on.
Right. All right. Oh.
I had a super inappropriate joke about that. I'll tell you maybe off mic later.
Off mic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And real quick, they cover two awesome songs on Painter of Dead Girls. They cover The Stooges and they cover Helmet. That's so awesome. It's a great, and like I said, that little EP was just like a sound check for Scott Hall before Prowling the Yard.
Yeah.
And I have it on vinyl.
Jealous?
Because I'm cool.
Super early. Cool.
Thanks, dude.
All right. Question eight. J.R. Hayes, vocalist for the band. His favorite band is, and this is confirmed, true or false? Nope. False. His favorite band
is... You just got a big kick out of that.
I Hate God. I spelled...
E-Y-E.
Yeah.
I've true watched... False.
True.
Is it?
Yeah. I read an interview and he said that's his favorite band, and one of the highlights of some of the stuff they've been doing is he actually got to play on stage with them. So.
With Mike Williams, the lead vocalist? Yeah. I know all about I Hate God. They were big. They're huge for New Orleans, and they're dirty, gutter, heroin, nasty, nasty, mean, southern doom rock. They're great. They're great, though, but they are.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Rejection.
Rejection. But no, they're great. Mike Williams, and then, you know, who messed with them a lot back in the day was Phil Anselmo from Pantera. I think they're on Southern Lord Records. I know all about them, but I've never heard... J.R. Hayes talk about them in any interviews or anything, but I see that because he sounds...
It was a quick thing. So.
I like it. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I wasn't able to confirm that other thing I was talking about, his drumming, the tickling Satan's taint.
Because the reason I said the Pixies was because in Prowl of the Yard, there's a bunch of short stories like before those crazy lyrics that I love so much.
Yeah.
And he's talking about listening to Debaser by the Pixies, stalking his girlfriend, and then cutting off every digit with a bolt cutter for every day they haven't been together. So,
Jesus, it's a good thing he gets it out of his system.
Yeah.
It's before a good, he has to enter the real world.
It's a great breakup album for those out there that are going through heartache.
It's a great breakup album. It's a good winter album.
Winter galore. But yeah, go ahead.
All right. So let's see. Question nine. Oh, can you name all the members of the band?
Well, you got both Jarvis guys, John and Jonah, or whatever the hell their names are.
Yeah, right? John and Adam.
Scott Hall, J.R. Hayes.
Yeah.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now you were talking about the sampling person? They got on electronics.
He's from Triac. I used to like Triac. I don't remember his name. He has a great job, by the way. He had, like, during the show, he just had a half gallon of Jack, and he was just headbanging, and then, like, every now and then he would, not to take anything away from him, but he was just, he has a great job.
Shout out to Blake Harrison.
Yeah, he seems like a good dude.
Yeah. Let's see.
He likes Jack, you know.
Can you name... All right, last two questions. Can you name the three drummers that were in the band?
Steve Harvey was one, something like that,
right? Brian Harvey. So that's one.
He was the longest, the current, like, longest
99
drummer.
99 to 2011.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He was their second one.
Who was before him? I don't remember.
Some guy named John Evans played with them for 2 years, 97 and 99. And then Adam is the newest one.
Jarvis, right?
Yeah.
I agree with my man here.
Yeah.
Adam Jarvis.
All right. Yeah, I don't remember the guy before Harvey.
Question 10. And this one is a trick question because whatever you say, it's going to be the wrong answer. Stetson's games are super fun.
No, they are. They are fun. I think the...
False.
Oh.
False.
Oh.
Come on, man. You know the listener loves it.
Yeah.
You got to keep bringing these.
But we don't.
Well, this is our first get together in a while, just you and I. So here we are.
Nice.
But yeah, thanks for the quiz. Now let's transition into some upcoming shows in Chicago that everybody should check out. That I'm going to definitely make an attempt. I know for sure. For sure, I already have two tickets. I'm working hard on my plug-in to get an interview. So I don't know. Everybody, hold that close. But you know, it's not for sure. But definitely going to go see Glassjaw and Quicksand July 8th at Concord Music Hall. Both of them are from Long Island. I did a Glassjaw review, probably episode 10.
Something like that.
It was one of my last reviews in a long time because remember I did Glassjaw and Tyler. So go back and revisit that. And then I did a Quicksand one too, somewhat recently. It was like my first review in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't remember what damn number it is off the top of my head because we got a few under our belt, don't we?
Yeah.
But go back and look for that.
We're super on top of it tonight.
Yeah, right? But yeah, it's the rock review that we just did somewhat recently. So looking forward to that. Glassjaw, I have a love-hate relationship with them live. Remember, I was pissed off in the very beginning because they did some goofy stuff. So not so much an interview with them, if that's possible, cool. But I've watched some of their interviews and they look like they could be a tough one. So, you know, I'm still amateur at this, but... I'm willing to try, but Quicksand, on the other hand, that's what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
That's what we're shooting for, you know, because Serge from Deftones is Quicksand's bassist. He started with Quicksand, and then he joined Deftones after G passed away. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's July 8th, Concord Music Hall. Check it out. Another show coming up, a big show, Depeche Mode, United Center, June 1st.
Ooh.
That's pretty dope.
June 1st?
June 1st. That's right around the corner.
Dang it.
Yeah, I know. We should have gone.
I would have loved to go into that.
Yeah.
Raspberries. That's how I swear now.
Raspberries?
Yeah, since I named the Pig Destroyers, the band, whatever they were called before, when I said So now that's how I swear. It's all raspberries and rainbows? Yeah.
All right. Another one, too. Citizen, June 5th at the Cobra Lounge. I reviewed them. I love that album. As You Please. Remember, I've pushed it on you, Sretton, a bunch.
Yeah.
I can't go to that, and I'm so bummed out because they were just in Indianapolis on our birthday, too, and I wasn't able to make that, and I'm going to be out of town that week. I'm not going to be here, so I'm pissed. And they're playing with Basement because, remember, Bobby Marcos from Cloakroom, when we had him on, Basement was the guy from England they brought over here to shoot their videos.
Yeah.
Remember? And then we come to find out, like, I was at that show, like, when they opened, and I remember I was like, oh, these dudes are dope. But, yeah, Basement's an awesome,
when
awesome.
When is that?
June 5th.
Okay.
Yeah, so and Nick from New Morality Scene, I talked to him a little bit about that show, so he might be there. So if I'm not here, Sretton, hit him up.
I might. I'm going to be in the city that night.
Are you?
Yeah.
Dude, I would totally go. And like I said, that's at the Cobra
Lounge. I'll FaceTime you. You'll get pissed.
I will. Another one, and I want you to jump on this because you mentioned it earlier. Worm Rot with Handsome Prick at Reggie's May 30th.
I'll be there for sure.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm off, I'll be there.
Yeah, I'm going after work.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to go chill and meet everybody.
Worm Rot's awesome. I've seen them before.
Good.
They're really good. Really good old school grind band from Japan.
Yeah, and they don't come to the States often.
They don't, do they?
Because they're from Japan. I don't have a good fact. This is all Wallace information, just that he said they don't come out often. So it's going to be pretty cool. I'm actually going to try to, I have to figure out the logistics of how to film it, but still go be a maniac in a crowd.
You can't do both at once, Retton.
I'm going to put a secret camera, like Creeper style. I'm going to find a secret spot to film the whole thing.
Right on.
And then and then I'm gonna go do spin kicks and shit.
Are you gonna hardcore? You're gonna like hardcore slow?
I'm gonna try. I found out how they do it. You know how they have salsa videos online?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a technique to grindcore dancing, so I think I got it down.
Push people as hard
just
as you can.
Punch as hard as you can into the air.
Oh, man. All right, all right. Oh, I see Blunt's playing here at Cobra Lounge, and that's Ratface that was on Juice Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a Doom band. They're playing June 26th at the Cobra Lounge. So, yeah, you could definitely go to Citizen.
Yeah.
And Basement.
Oh, cool guys too.
Yeah, they are cool. Yeah. Ratface. Ratface is awesome. So shout out to Ratface if he's listening. I'm sure he is. I hope he is. At any rate, Radiohead, July 6th, Friday, United Center. I heard that sold out really quick. I don't know if they're playing two nights, but maybe me and Boyan could go together.
My other brother a legit Radiohead fan.
What's that? Your Radiohead? Your Radiohead face?
Oh no, I was actually gonna say they have I don't know why I made that face. They have tickets on StubHub.
How much?
A lot. I mean, okay. Shit seats are 100, I think, minimum. But yeah, if you really want to go, you can get a ticket.
I do want to
go. But it's a stupid StubHub thing.
Yeah, that extra price. And it's going to be inside. I saw them.
You said United Center, right?
Yeah, United Center.
I don't think anything sounds good in there.
No, I've never seen. Have I seen a show there? I don't know. I don't think so.
I saw Chili Peppers and I mean.
What era Chili Peppers?
No, I just saw them right now in August.
I wouldn't tell anybody that.
I had a good time.
I'm just kidding.
But the sound wasn't great.
Hey, did they play Ayo? Yeah.
I went to take a leak.
That song sucks. I hate that song. That's that's going to be playing in purgatory between I'm going to heaven or hell. And they're just going to like, you just stay in purgatory, Mr. Riley, and listen to Hey-O by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's
gonna...
California Cation are come on and be like, no wonder I killed myself on Earth. At any rate, Corrosion of Conformity is playing at the Forge. Ooh, I might check that out for show. July 17th. Dinosaur Jr., July 18th at Talia Hall. That's a classic old school band, yeah.
Got to try to go there and get an interview.
Yeah, ooh, here we go, Festival of the Lakes. I don't know, we might have to do that because that's an H-Town in Hammond. That's also on July 19th. Chevelle's going to be there and Nas and who else?
I don't know.
Okay.
But we're
working.
Word on the street, we're working on a Nas interview.
A Nas interview.
So.
Yeah.
If you're listening, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell.
But tell everybody.
But tell everybody. Nardwar, we got you. We got you, Nardwar. And then, hey, what do you know? Nardwar. I Hate God. I Hate God's playing too. We just talked about them. J.R. Hayes' favorite band. They're playing at the Forge, July 19th. Might check that out. Earl Sweatshirt. He's at the Pitchfork Music Festival. Love him. So is Tame Impala. Pitchfork's always putting good acts on.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been to that. Have you ever been to that?
No.
Maybe get your brother on the line for that as well.
He's been there once, twice. He wants to go every year, and then if you don't jump on it, tickets are hard to get.
Are they?
Yeah. Okay. I might be talking shit.
Hey, here's Citizen again, July 24th in DeKalb. Wallace has all those connections in DeKalb. Maybe we could go see them then at the House Cafe. So that's a little bit down the road. But and I can't forget these guys. How could I forget them? Cloakroom. Cloakroom's playing with Pelican, July 26th. It's my grandpa's birthday.
Nice.
That's awesome. So they're playing at the Bee Kitchen. With Pelican. Pelican's like awesome.
I like that place.
Really good Chicago, I don't know, Doom band. They just played with them in Europe. I think they're back. I haven't talked to Bobby, but we got some tricks up our sleeve for him too. Yeah. Might do something cool with the Cloakroom boys. We'll have to feel it out. And My Bloody Valentine, I love them. Loveless is one of the best albums of all time, July 27th at the Riv. I'd really like to see what that guitar tone sounds like.
Let's do it.
How about you?
I would too really like to hear what that guitar tone sounds like.
We got some Foo Fighters. We got some Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field. There you go, Stratton. You could wear your Cubs hat. You could jump up and down with your I don't know why I'm being so mean to you.
I like the Cubs. I'm a Cubs fan. Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan.
Oh God. Bummer.
And like Nick Grohl, like everybody in the band, respect the band, not a Foo Fighters guy.
I like the Foo Fighters. They have some really good albums.
I like a bunch of their songs too, but I just...
And we'll close it out with July 30th, Def Heaven at the Metro. They have a new single out, so go check it out. Check out Def Heaven. Sunbather is a classic, classic album. And hold on, I said that was the last one. Nope, Sleep at the Riv. Sleep just put out an album. We're going to do a doom metal special here coming up soon in the near future, right around your corner. We got to get into the doom. And then Stretton's going to have some really good Black Sabbath trivia questions for me and my particular guest for that particular time.
I'll be ready.
Will you be ready? All right. But one more thing. We're going to do our little closer plug. Stretton, you got anything else?
No, I killed it. Just go to Green Door Network. Come to the bookstore. Come to downtown Hobart. Check it out. There's good music. There's good food. Good people.
Good times. You summer, yours, no. The summer.
Summer's fun.
Yeah, check out Musically Meditated. Make sure you subscribe and comment. We need people to comment more. Definitely rate. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on iHeartRadio. Where else is it? It's everywhere. Yeah. YouTube.
All Google Play apps.
Google Play apps. It's all over. And we're still, you know, I'm still on Green Door Network, so subscribe, comment. Go to that Facebook group page. Go to the Facebook group page
because we're going to start making videos this summer.
Yeah.
Promotional videos.
Yep.
And we want to know if you enjoy the whimsy and silliness.
Yeah.
Also, just how serious we'll get.
We might get serious. Yeah. But adios, everybody. Have a good weekend. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right. I'm musically meditated.
Producer my ass over there.